Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our series of programs entitled, God is Love, We Must Be Love. Do you feel like God doesn't love you? Do you feel like you've just committed so many sins that God couldn't possibly forgive you? Or maybe you've committed some great big sin, some horrible sin. Maybe you've even committed murder. Maybe you've committed rape. Maybe you've stolen something. Maybe you have committed adultery. No matter what sin you have, I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Bible that God is big enough, God loves you enough to forgive you of that sin or the multitude of sins that you may have committed. And we're going to see that through the story of Judas Iscariot. Now, why did God pick someone named Judas to betray Jesus? In our last program, we covered two reasons. Today, I'm going to cover a third reason. Why did God pick someone named Judas to betray Jesus? Well, Judas represents the nation of Israel. In fact, the word Judas, J-U-D-A-S, comes from the same Hebrew word for Judah, J-U-D-A-H. And you know that Judah is a part of the nation of Israel. So Judas and Judah come from the same Hebrew word, which is I-O-U-D-A-S, Iudas or Judas. And let's turn over now to Malachi chapter 2, and we'll read verse 10 through chapter 3, verse 4. This is Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 through chapter 3, verse 4, because we're going to see that just as Judas betrayed Jesus, Judah, the nation of Judah, betrayed Jesus. So Judas represents Judah, a part of the nation of Israel, in this betrayal of God. And we also know that Judah, of course, represent the chosen people. They have that moniker. They are the chosen people of God, just like Judas was chosen by Jesus to be one of His disciples. So the very people that Jesus and God the Father chose are the ones who betrayed them. All right, so let's read in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, starting in verse 10. The Jews are asking this question: don't we have one Father? Has not one God created us? Then why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Now, in this case, this covenant is a marriage contract. The nation of Judah was married to God, but they were profaning this covenant. They were going contrary to the covenant. They were not showing love. They were showing hatred, in fact, toward their mate. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Judah. For Judah has profaned the holiness of the Lord, and has done what? And has married the daughter of a strange god. That's how they were profaning the covenant, because they were actually committing spiritual adultery. Instead of faithfully serving God by following all of His commandments, they turned away from the one true God and started to follow a false god. And this covenant that God made with Israel, the nation of Israel, a part of which was the tribe of Judah, God said that you would have to keep these Ten Commandments. And the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Then the second commandment, don't make any graven images. The third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the fourth commandment is, keep the Sabbath day holy. Because God created the Sabbath day and made it holy. So they were supposed to keep it holy. And those first four commandments taught the nation of Judah how to love the Lord their God. But they went contrary to that, and they disobeyed God. They married the daughter of a strange god. They committed this abomination, this treacherous act, They profaned the covenant by following after a strange god. They committed spiritual adultery. That's idolatry. And God says, the Lord will cut off the man that does this, even him that offers an offering to the Lord of hosts. So even those people that continue to offer offerings to the Lord of hosts, and at the same time they're offering offerings to the strange god, God's not going to accept that kind of mixed worship. God wants our hearts completely, just like he wanted their hearts completely. But they were half-hearted instead of wholehearted in their love toward God and in their worship of God. God wants those people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. We have to worship God in truth and with the right spirit. And the right spirit is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, might, and soul, giving God everything, completely, holding back nothing, being faithful, and having God as the only God, the one true God. Now notice the response of Judah, though. Yet you say, why are you not having a regard for our offerings anymore? And the answer is, because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion. You shouldn't treat her like that. You shouldn't be going after false gods, whoring after them. You have transgressed against the wife of your covenant. Notice how God puts it in terms of a husband and a wife, because Judah was the wife and the Lord was the husband in this example. But Judah actually went a whoring after another god, sought after another lover. And God says, did he not make the two one, just like God has made a man and a woman to come together in one, in unity? We should not profane marriage by bringing in some other one. No, we should just have love and that sexual union with the one, and that union of the mind with one. So it's the union of mind, body, and soul with one person, not spreading ourselves around. That's not the way to go. And God is using this marriage between a man and a woman as a type of the marriage of Judah to the Lord. And there's a warning. Take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates divorce. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, how have we wearied the Lord? This is the answer. When you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, that's how you weary the Lord, because you're doing evil and yet you're saying that it's good. And there are people today, as an example, that do commit homosexuality and they claim that they love the Lord. And perhaps that's what your sin is. You've been involved in homosexuality and you're trying to break out of that, and you're wondering, can God forgive me for all the years that I've committed this abomination? Well, here's the answer. God says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Now notice this part. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant to the Lord. So what God is saying here is he's going to send Jesus the Christ and the message of forgiveness of sins and salvation through Jesus the Christ. And when people repent and accept by faith Jesus the Christ and accept God's forgiveness of our sins through Jesus the Christ, then God says that we will have been purified like silver is purified. We will be refined like silver and gold is purified and refined. Then we're going to have a pure and refined heart, a pure heart of love, where we love God and love God only, and we love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, with our entire being. So all God is saying is that Judas betrayed Jesus. The nation of Judah betrayed Yeshua or Yahweh. But God in his mercy will purge them both, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Judas be pleasant to the Lord. Then shall your offering be pleasant to the Lord. If you accept the offering of the Lord, the offering of the Lord's body to forgive us of our sins, and the offering of his life to give us eternal life, if you accept God's gracious gift through his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, then you will have praise of God. Then you will understand and have absolute assurance that all of your sins are forgiven, that no matter what sin you have committed, they are forgiven. And let me tell you this, the unpardonable sin is the sin that you won't repent of. God can't pardon a sin if you don't repent. But the good news is that if you do repent, no matter what you have done, God will forgive you. There is no sin so grievous that he cannot forgive it. He forgave Judah. He is willing to forgive you. All you have to do is accept it by faith. So please pray that God will give you the faith to believe that he loves you. God is love.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.